Okay. I'm just saying, if I were a mere mortal, I could be confused right now. I could find myself in a place where I actually shut down and go into isolation. You see, these four guys represent a lot of things in the demonic realm. These monos, yes. You see, yeah, I know I'm close to the edge of the stage. I live at the edge of the stage. Don't worry about me. But these guys, they represent an entity that wants to destroy me. See, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. They want to destroy my finances. They want to destroy my children. They want to destroy my employment. They want to inflict harm on me any way they can. And that is why we operate in fear. And when I say we, I mean you. I'm not talking about me. I hope there's some of you can say, he ain't talking about me either. You see, we walk in that fear. Oh, my air conditioner's going to break. Or, oh, my car's going to break. Or, oh, I'm going to need a new roof. And oh, my health is not good. And oh, I can't afford to go to the doctor. And oh, I don't have any money to pay my bills. And you start to operate in fear. And you get so fearful that you can't even function. Oh, I can't handle these new responsibilities. And you got these demons around you that are just looking to capitalize on your weakness. But see, if you were Superman, you wouldn't even be giving a thought to these four monos. Because you know, you could simply fly away, or you could just whack, whack, whack. And they would be done with. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll listen to me today, if you'll begin to understand, you have to begin to walk around not like you're powerless, but you have to begin to walk around like you're full of power. Yeah. One of them came to me the other day and they said, I saw what you were saying for the first time. And he said, when you talk about changing the atmosphere, you see, empowerment changes atmosphere. All of a sudden, as big and tough as you are, you become very weak if I change the atmosphere. And when I'm saying, you know, I went into the bank and I had done something and I lost something and they were going to charge me $5 for a new one. But all of a sudden they looked at me and said, no charge. That's after they told him there was going to be a charge. It wasn't a lot of money. Not the point is how much it was. But he noticed that the atmosphere shifted and he began to walk in power. And God said, I will rebuke the devourer of your money. I will rebuke him. He can't have it. And you saw the atmosphere change. And he come back out and he said, I saw the atmosphere change. I want to teach you about the seven spirits of God. I want to teach you that you use these seven spirits to change your atmosphere. You use these seven spirits of God so that you walk in power and you know that you're walking in power. It wouldn't do me any good to not know that I could take these four guys, these four demons, these four monos. I'll just give them a banana. They'll go about their own way. I don't know if you heard that. The big guy in the back said, just don't slay me up here. 320-pound men fell off the ground the other night. I might have been responsible. Okay, I don't know. All right, sit down, guys. I'm going to preach now. We're talking about the seven spirits of God, and they're so very important because that is the reason you go from being a mere mortal to a spiritual being. See, you're either going to be more spiritual or you're going to be more flesh. It's one or the other, and it's a daily battle. I say everybody's an idiot. There's just different degrees. Right? Nobody's exempt. Don't start thinking you're exempt. Don't be going out of here saying, "Pastor insulted me, called me an idiot." No, I'm here to tell you the truth. We're all idiots. I do some idiotic stuff. Yeah, you do. But some days, my level's not too big. I'm really doing pretty good. But then I'll have another day and my level's off the charts. So it is with the battle of the flesh and the spirit. There are days that I'm so more spirit than flesh that my flesh can't demand anything of me. I just, no. And I'm in prayer and I'm with walking with God and I'm in tune with what's going on around me and I see things. The people that hang around me say, "You're so observant." Because in the spiritual realm, you see things. I got a new first row setter. I can tell you what seat in the back row she set last week. I'm paying attention. I can see things. The power of God, the spirits of God, will enable you to do things you never thought you could do before. They will help you battle your flesh so that your spirit will control you. I'm going to take you to some stories in the Bible this morning because we're going to talk about the very first spirit of the seven spirits. And that is, I think, one of the greatest spirits, although I'm going to say that about each and every one as I get to them. But I'm going to talk about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you and lead you and protect you. Okay? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit tells me things. What's it tell me? What Jesus gives it permission to tell me. That's what it tells me. It cannot speak anything on its own. It gets its command from Jesus. Jesus tells me what the Holy Spirit wants to tell, or Holy Spirit tells me what Jesus wants me to know, and he leads me and guides me so that I do not continue to step on the landmines. What is a pastor? A pastor is a guy who stepped on some landmines and he's about to show you where they are. That's the job of a pastor. Listen, there's a landmine over there, right here. And see, and I had somebody in my office this week and I said, "This is not, you go down here, this is what's going to happen to you. If you continue this behavior, this is what's going to happen." Why? I've seen the movie before. I know how the movie ends. I know the alternate endings. I know everything that's going to happen. I've been doing this for a long time. You really have no surprises for me. So I'm telling you, this is a landmine. You're going to get blown up if you continue to go down. That's my job. To explain to you the things of God so that it'll keep you from walking on the landmines. But there's a thing called the Spirit of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord gets on me, and all of a sudden, you could be in my office telling me all kinds of stuff, and the Spirit of the Lord's empowered me to see through you. And I know you're lying to me. Somebody came into my office this week, and I said, "Why are you doing this?" And they looked at me and said, "Huh? How you know?" Because I've been empowered to know. I don't know. Spirit of God knows. I want you to understand that there's an empowerment that comes with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord gives you the authority to act on behalf of God. There are a lot of people out there that are acting without the authority of God. There are pastors that haven't been called to pastor. There are teachers that haven't been called to teach. I tell God all the time, if I'm out of line, if I'm not supposed to be on that stage, get me off of there. I've often said how many times y'all can't fire me, but God can take me out. God can remove me from this stage in 2 seconds if I'm not acting on his behalf the way he wants me to. And I tell him to do so. I don't want to answer for that. I don't want to go before God and say, for 20 years you were talking gibberish and confusing my people. I don't want that conversation. So I tell God, God, if I'm not following the words that you're giving me, then shut me down. Shut me down. Take me out of there. The Spirit of the Lord will empower you in every circumstance, in every way. We're going to look at Gideon for a moment in Judges 6:34. Now, understand that Gideon was a lot like the average Christian. Who am I? The who am I syndrome. You know, I'm really not good enough. I don't look good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not capable enough. I am not enough. Gideon said to the Lord, he said, listen, there are 12 tribes. And my tribe is the least of all the tribes. We're the worst. And not only that, in my tribe, I'm the worst. You've picked the worst of the worst of the worst. There's nobody lower than me. I'm not capable of doing anything. And guess what? He was right. You're not capable of doing anything until you find the Spirit of the Lord. I am not capable of preaching. I am not capable of running this church. I am not capable of calling down healings. I am not capable until the Spirit of the Lord gets on me, and I know when it's on me. But when it gets on me, everything changes. And here it talks about in Judges 6:34, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. Gideon just got transformed into Superman. Every time the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you become transformed into a Superman. You're going to be able to see things you never saw before. You're going to be able to understand things. You're going to be able to do things. And he blew a trumpet summoning the Abizarites to follow him. The Abizarites was the clan, the tribe that he was in. The Spirit, oh, this is going to Samson. Never mind, go back. I'm not done with Gideon yet. So Gideon had a bunch of armies that were around him to destroy him. And he summoned 32,000 men to fight this vast army. And that in itself wasn't good numbers. But God came to him and said, listen, we're not going to play that. Because, see, when I hand you this victory, I don't want you thinking that you did something. There's a danger in thinking you did something. There's a danger in thinking it's you. There's you're taking the credit from God. I cringe if I ever hear somebody say, this is what you did. Now, if you say, this is what God did through you, or this is what you did through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, or from the Spirit of God, or from God, then I can live with that. But he said, you can't have 32,000 men. That's too many. So, you know, find out who's afraid. Find out who doesn't have the Spirit of God. Send them home. And I believe it's 10,000 men were left. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Is it 10,000? Y'all act like you don't know. 10,000 were left. And Gideon said, you know, or God said to Gideon, he says, you know what? That's too many. That's too many. That's too many guys. You're going to go against these thousands upon thousands of people, but you have too many guys. And he said, take them over to the water and watch how they drink. The ones that drink like dogs, send them home, and the ones that lap up the water, keep them. And there were 300 left. And God gave Gideon one of the greatest victories in all of the Bible. But go back to the verse 34, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Gideon. And then Gideon was able. How many of you, please listen to me. How many of you, somebody comes up and they got cancer, or they got this and they got that, and they want you to pray for them. And you just pray for them without a second to ask God for the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you. I have felt so many times the Spirit of the Lord come upon me and God send me to somebody to pray for, and the miraculous happened before my eyes. And I have seen so many times that I rushed in without a thought to what I was doing and nothing happened. And those are the times that I have to go get before God and say, God, what in the world happened? And I realized that I went in on my strength, not on God's strength. And I've learned that I don't want to do that anymore. There are many stories in this sanctuary of people that asked me to pray for them, and I didn't pray for 2 or 3 days because the Spirit of the Lord wasn't on me and I knew it. And then the Spirit of the Lord got on me, and they were healed instantly. Some of them have avoided surgeries and amputations and all types of various things because I didn't lead. I let God lead. I followed. You're not the leader. Let's go to the next one. And Samson had strength, and he didn't have strength. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. Only when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It strengthened him, empowered him. And that's why I tell you that the laws of nature don't apply. The laws of science don't apply. God doesn't answer to those things. Those things answer to God just as we do. We are so taught the laws of gravity and the laws of this and the laws of that, that we get so conditioned to believe in limitation. I am limited. God has no limitation. He has proved it over and over in my own life when he removed laws of science, when I bled out, I was supposed to be dead, and yet I live. And nobody can explain why. Nobody. Except to say life is in God's hands, not man's. It's in God's hands, not science's. Go to the next scripture for Samson. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting, "The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and his bindings dropped from his hands." You see, he was in bondage, and he couldn't move. But when the Spirit of the Lord hit him, he could remove himself from the bondage. You know what? It's almost safe to say, not exactly safe. I don't want those guys coming back on the stage. But all of us are wrapped in some sort of bondage. And just like Samson, if the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you can break the chains, you can break the ropes, you can break the bondage. Some of us are in bondage and we don't even know it's bondage. We think poverty is a way of life. Poverty is bondage. Poverty is chains around you. You're not supposed to live in poverty. I don't care what any preacher tells you. Don't believe it. God didn't create you to be in poverty. I know the plans I have for you. Plans for you to prosper. What you need is the Spirit of the Lord to come upon you. Go to Judges 15. Or 16:28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me." You see, because the Spirit of the Lord does not stay with you. Too many believe they get something and they keep it. They go back to that scripture, "For I'll be with you always." Listen. One of the seven things Jesus said on the cross, one of the most powerful things he ever said is, "Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me, God? Why have you deserted me? Where are you?" God is a holy God. He's not tolerating your unholiness. You can be involved in some silliness if you want to, but it doesn't mean God's going with you. When you're snorting that drug, trust me, God's not in you. God's not going to sniff that drug with you. So sorry to tell you, he's left the building. He won't abandon you. And he's waiting for you to return, and his arms are open, and he'll give you another chance and another chance and an infinite amount of chances. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's what that verse means. But it doesn't mean he's going to hang in with you while you're involved in sin. A righteous God cannot be involved in unrighteousness. Samson got involved in some stuff and he lost his strength. And he lost his eyes. Everything was taken away from him. Lust is a formidable opponent. Those four guys could have represented lust just as easy as anything else. So he prayed to God. He said, "Remember me." He wouldn't have had to do this had he not lost the Spirit. When the Spirit of God came upon him, he could tear apart a lion. He could tear apart a bear. He could tear apart the Philistines. One time he killed a thousand with a jawbone of a donkey. Hand-to-hand combat, killed 1,000 people. And now he finds himself powerless. He finds himself helpless. What he finds himself is without God. "Remember me, please, God. Strengthen me just one more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." And God honored that request and gave him strength one more time. But he paid the price of his life for dishonoring God. Now, I'm not telling you you're going to pay the price of life for dishonoring God, because there's a new sheriff in town. His name is Jesus Christ. And when Jesus got here, every time the wrath of God wants to come upon you, Jesus steps in front and says, "Dad, that's me. It's me, Dad. Don't you see me?" "Oh, son, it was hard to see you because they're 98% flesh and you're kind of just hiding in the back. I almost missed you. But I see you now. Everything's going to be all right." I'm thankful for the new sheriff. Very thankful, because I think God would have taken me out a long time ago if I had to face his wrath. But the age of grace and mercy will come to an end. It's going to come to an end. And every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is God. And it will be too late. Let's look at King David. "The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue." The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, "When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God." David was not a guy you would like. If he came into this church and he sit down in the front row, people would be like, "I can't believe they let that sinner in here." Guys would be like, "Hide your wives." You wouldn't be inviting them out to lunch. And God looks at him and says, "That's a man after my own heart." Jesus was in the wilderness, much like it feels like for many people. Can I just say it, Bruce? Can I? Bruce, right now, has got all kinds of stuff going on all around him. His good friend just found out has lung cancer and it's in his bones, and that's near the end without the intervention of God. And he just found out his daughter has breast cancer. And her name is Robin. And we're going to continue to keep Robin in prayer and lift her up, because God can do amazing things through breast cancer. I'm a witness to that. And then he forgot to take into account that the earth is spinning and he fell off the ground. The earth's spinning. You got to watch your step. We start taking for granted that we can take another step on a spinning earth. Huh? Yeah. Hey. And it feels like there's four guys here, and then there's four more here, and then there's four more here, and there's four more here. And all you want is some relief. Yes? And I think that's how Jesus felt in the wilderness, Bruce. He was hungry, he wanted food. He was thirsty, he wanted to drink. He was weak, he wanted to be strengthened. He's probably smelly and wanted a bath. It was rough. That's why they called it wilderness, because it was barren. And he was weak, and Satan was messing with him every which way possible and waited till he was at his weakness to do it. But when he came out of the wilderness. Now, why is that so significant? Because the enemy's trying to draw you in. He'll draw you into acceptance. You can accept, you can begin to accept the conditions that you're living in as if they're normal. And that's just, after all, that's just who you are, and that's just the way it is for you. Jesus could have stayed in the wilderness. But he had to come out of the wilderness. You've got to come out of the wilderness. You can't get into agreement with all these things that are going on. Come out. God, I don't know what you're doing with Robin right now. I don't know. But you want to know what, God? I pray that your glory abounds, and I pray that it changes her life in a way that her life could never be changed if she didn't have to go through this. Just like it changed Marjorie and I, our life, if we had never gone through it, our life would not have been radically changed. I'm looking for radical change over Robin, God. I don't know her condition, and I don't know her spirituality, and I don't know how close she is to you, God. But I pray that after she goes through this, that I won't be able to look at her and see where she begins or you begin. And that she will touch the lives of so many. Would that be worth a little bit of discomfort? I'm here to tell you today, Bruce, that it's worth every bit of it. I'm not telling you of somebody who's trying to soften you up. I'm telling you of somebody who's lived it. asked Marjorie in private, any of you, if it was worth it. And she'll look at you and say, I would do it again. Because God was amazing. And we saw God in ways we never saw God before. And it took that to get our attention. My prayer is that nobody would ever have to go through that. I'm going to tell you, you got to start coming against this virus. The people of God have got to stand up against this virus that's out there. It is becoming a fast epidemic. It is spreading. It's in about, 30, 40 countries now. And it's in the U.S. now, too. There are now 8 cases in the U.S. No! Not in Lake Placid. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we refuse this virus in Lake Placid. Somebody's got to get into agreement. Somebody's got to come out of the wilderness. Somebody's got to make a stand. Somebody's got to get the Spirit of God on them. I'm getting ready to close. Don't worry. My time's up. The Bible says that Jesus received authority when he came out of the wilderness. In other words, what happened when he came out of the wilderness? They're not talking about geographic conditions. Believe me, they're talking about spiritual conditions. And he says, when he came out of the wilderness, he was given the Spirit of God. He was given authority. What did he do? He turned his back on the devil, is what he did. He's talking to the devil. He's having a conversation with the devil. The devil's talking to him and trying to trick him and confuse him and lie to him. And all of a sudden, it was over because he turned his back and he walked away. I want you to ask yourself something. I don't want to know. What is it you need to turn your back on? Listen to me. What do you need to turn your back on right now so that the Spirit of God can come upon you? Let's look at Luke 4, 14 through 20. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. That's coming out of the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit. Once he turned his back on Satan, once he refused to accept the things that Satan was telling him, and he turned his back, he was empowered by the Spirit. Don't expect to be empowered by the Spirit while you're still in the acceptance to what Satan's doing in your life. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everybody praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he's reading out of Isaiah chapter 61, by the way. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Listen to me. If you want to be a secret agent in the Christianity movement, the Spirit of God is not going to get upon you because you've been anointed to tell somebody about Jesus. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." We take that as the blind story I gave you, the lady being blind. That's not the blindness he's talking about. He's talking about your inability to see what is real and what is not real. What is important and what is not important. God doesn't want you to see Robin's condition. He wants you to see what he's doing through that condition. Doesn't want you to be blind. We get blind, and you know what they do? When they get blind, Bruce, you know what happens? They give up on God. Because they couldn't open their eyes and see. All they saw was the condition. He took my loved one. Yeah, that was the plan all along. I don't know about your family, but either Marjorie's driving me to the cemetery or I'm driving her. That's the plan. It's going to hurt like hell, but it's the plan. And I have to open my eyes or she'll have to open her eyes and see that that was God's plan all along to take us to heaven for eternity where we'll be with him. Worst case scenario, if she knows God, if she goes lives with him and you get to see her again in a minute. That's worst case scenario if she knows God. However, if she doesn't know God, there's a far worse case. So you can concentrate on the condition of her body, or you can concentrate on the condition of her spirit. I'm talking to you, brother. Because you have to have sight to see the master plan. I was reading a story about Tony Dungy, who gave a speech, and he's the football coach, that very famous football coach, very accomplished, and he lost his son. And he was back to work about a week later. Those people are driven and committed to what they're doing. But they asked him, they said, how could you possibly go back to work in a week after losing your son? And he said, well, one of my friends came to me and they asked me a question. And he said, you're a Christian, right? And he said, yeah, of course. He said, and your son's a Christian, right? He was a Christian. He says, yes, he loved the Lord. And so he's with Jesus now, right? He says, yeah. Well, then would he want to come back? Would he want to come back? And Dungy said, no. He wouldn't want to come back. And it gave him the strength to continue to live his life. He understood the plan. In other words, he was no longer blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I believe this is a year of the Lord's favor, and next year is going to be a year of the Lord's favor. Until he comes back or takes me out, I plan to walk in favor. Because I'm going to turn my back on the devil, and I'm going to come out of the wilderness, and I'm going to honor God with my words, deeds, actions. And I'm going to get closer to him than I've ever been today. And then tomorrow I'm going to get a little bit closer. And then the next day I'm going to get a little bit closer. And I'm not planning on turning back. One more and I'm out. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. What's he saying here? And that's the deal. That's the way it is. It's closed. It's not open for discussion. I'm done. This is the truth. My prayer for you is that the Spirit of God is upon you. When they were going to amputate Manny's foot, the Spirit of God got upon him. He came up here and he said something. Pastor Manny, I put everybody's business on the street, so don't feel special. He said to me these words. That was the most powerful prayer I've ever heard. I got news for you. No, it wasn't. But the Spirit of the Lord got on you. That's what happened. The Spirit of the Lord was on you. That's what happened. That's why you still have your leg. That's why you felt the power in the prayer. Somebody else could have heard that same exact prayer without the Spirit of the Lord and would have felt nothing, Pastor Manny. The difference isn't in my words. The difference is in the Spirit of God. Does that make sense to you? Prayer team, got to come up. I'm 5 minutes over. You got to come up. And my voice is going. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. That's my disciple. He knows to correct me when I'm wrong. And I accept that correction because this is a wise man loves correction. My voice is strong. I do know some of what some of you are going through, but I don't know everything. And I want you to know that the Spirit of God is looking for acceptance from you. But you're going to have to drop your pride and realize you have a need. Now, especially as a man, you've been conditioned to hold on to that pride your whole life. But it's not getting you anywhere. Some of you are hitting a brick wall at 80 miles an hour right now. And God wants to remove that wall. Refocus you back to the relationship you had with Him. Will you let Him today? You know, where's Jason? Let me put his business on the street. There he is. The other day, if you were in service, you saw him hit the ground. He's 320 pounds, and I never touched him. People that watch the video tell me he went up before he went down. What many of you don't know, an hour before that and for his entire life, he felt that that was fake and not real. He had even told me so. That's not real. That's fake. I don't believe in that. Okay. I didn't get into a discussion with him. I didn't try to defend the truth. I usually care more about Jason's feelings than I do about being right. Try that someday. I have a vindicator. His name is God. God will vindicate me. I don't have to worry about it. Now, if he would have asked me, is that real? I could have had a discussion with him and I could have told him that it's real. But he didn't ask me. He told me it wasn't real, so I didn't see the need to correct him. Am I telling the truth, Jason? Well, when I walked by him, the Spirit of the Lord got on him. in that 320-pound man's man was helpless. Helpless. And he would have told you 10 minutes before that ain't nobody going to knock him down. Not by any way. Not by how hard you come at him. No matter how you ram into him, you're not going to knock him down. And he found out that the Spirit of God is real and knocked him on his butt without ever being touched. And you know what it did for him? Changed his life. Because all of a sudden, he's realizing that it's deeper than he ever thought it was. All of a sudden, he's sensing that there's a power of God that he's never known before. And that's what God wants for all of you. He wants you to understand that there's a power you've not tapped into yet. There's a power that'll transform you from a mortal to a Superman. And all of a sudden, you're not going to have to worry about those four thugs standing on the corner waiting for you. Trying to take your relationship with your wife or your husband, trying to separate you from your children, trying to devour your finances. Superman never was scared. Y'all saw the movies. You don't have to be either. You just have to know where your source of power comes from. So if you want to tap into that source today, these men and women want to pray for you. Wherever you're having difficulty in, they want to set you free.